Welcome to Yak Babies, only podcast on the internet sponsored by Commando Undies, only briefs you'll never need. My name is Aaron here with personal pals, Brick.
I was trying to think of a sassy Star Wars thing to say, but I don't.
You know, I was thinking about that.
I mean, it's like, may the force be with you, but that's pretty lame, so.
You could have said, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, glark glork.
I got a bad feeling about this. Is this Star Wars?
I was going to Tashi Station to get some power connectors.
There you go. Now we're talking. Yeah. Remember we used to do the cold opens for the podcast?
Yeah, they've largely become Patreon episodes now.
Yeah. I should have prepared. I should have done the Star Wars theme instead of the 18 theme.
There's no lyrics, though.
Well, exactly. How much? So much fun.
We could do the Bill Murray one. Yak babies.
Yak babies. We also have Dave.
I am not a committee.
Dave Solo. And then calling from Old Ireland System, we have Old Irish Nico 2D2.
Beep boop.
Top-notch R2D2 impression. Beep boop.
I've been working on it.
You're doing open mics.
Just go up and go beep boop.
I want to do a series of impressions for you. My first one is R2D2. Here it is. Beep boop. My second impression is a robot from a fucking Lost in Space. Beep boop.
Here's my C-3PO. Oh my!
Oh, beep boop!
Oh, you just got your cold open.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Not obvious already, we're talking Star Wars today on Yak Babies. This came up as a topic, I think last time we recorded, because we were talking about Star Wars novels, and we got off on a little bit of a tangent with it, and then I think Dave suggested we should do a Star Wars episode, because we have some Star Wars knowledge, and so we're talking about it. Dave, I know you used to read Star Wars novels. Tell us which ones you read, and so what got you started reading Star Wars novels in the first place?
Man, I don't even remember. I was a teenager. I loved the original three movies as a kid and, you know, collected a lot of the action figures and whatever gadgets. So I don't know. I was probably middle schoolish, mm-hmm. and I didn't set out to find a Star Wars novel. I think I was just like, I may have been in like a Walden Books, one of those mall bookstores, and saw a paperback with, you know, some of those characters on the cover, and I was like, oh, what's this? And so I bought it. I don't remember anything about it except that the writer was named Kevin J. Anderson, or mm-hmm. Kevin something Anderson.
He wrote like half of them.
Did he? Okay, yeah. So that's the guy. And then so I read, I think that was, that first one was part of a three book like story arc. So I read those, and then maybe a couple other spin-offs, not all by that guy. So I read somebody else as well, but I probably read like five or six during my early to maybe mid-teen years.
Yeah, and you enjoyed them.
Yeah, and I enjoyed them, and then just, you know, kind of left it behind without looking back, I guess.
Right. Brick or Nico, do you guys ever read Star Wars novels?
I read exactly two.
Oh, yeah? Which ones?
And I really liked them both, but it never got me to the point of just diving into that, maybe because that's, you know, see the fanfic episode. But I had a book that was by Kevin J. Anderson, which was, I don't remember what it was called, but it was a collection of stories of the characters from Jabba's palace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, now you're talking about, yeah.
There was like, you know, 10 or 15 stories in there, and each one was about a different character that you see in there. So it's like the little monkey guy that's hanging on the back,
and
like the warthog looking dude, yeah, and the kind of fat guy that takes care of the Rancor.
Oh yeah, the Gamorrean guards, I think is their name.
Yeah,
I think the Gamorrean guards were the warthog guys. Oh, it's been right. A lot. I was like 12.
There was a keeper. He didn't wear a shirt.
Yeah,
right. And he cries.
Yeah, that guy. Rancor,
yeah. And I thought that book. I really liked that book. I read it a lot. And then also, I think there was a Boba Fett chapter in there too. I can't remember.
Makes sense.
Entry or whatever. And then I had a book called Shadows of the Empire, I believe.
Yeah, that game was based on it, right?
Yeah, they based one of like the Launch 64 games on it.
Yeah.
And it was, so I liked Star Wars when I was a little kid, but I didn't like love it. It was just a thing that exists that I watched once in a while. And then I started to like it a lot more kind of in the lead up to the when they re-released him with the special effects in like the late 90s, kind of because before the prequels came out, they re-released all the Star Wars movies, but they added special effects and they really kind of fucked them up.
Yeah.
And as that happened, I started to be a discerning dick of a high schooler. And that's kind of was like, oh, I like the old ones. I don't like these. And then I started watching the old ones a lot and kind of getting into it. And so around that time, they were really hyping Star Wars and trying to like break, like resurrect it because it was largely dead for the early 90s. Like you didn't see a lot of Star Wars. It was kind of like an old timey.
Yeah.
You know, so as they were starting to kind of build it back up and generate some interest leading up to the new movies and the re-releases of the old ones and all that, The Shadows of the Empire was meant to take place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Yeah. So I was into that. I was like, oh, this is like, you know, I think my opinion of a lot of like the spinoff books is just like, I don't just want to read shit that happens in the same universe or like these are the third cousins of Luke Skywalker. Like, I don't really care. But when it's like part of the story of the movies I've seen 50 or 100 times, then I'm a little more intrigued. And like maybe this will, because at the time no one knew how bad the prequels were going to be. They thought they were going to, like, there was some hype around that, so I was like, okay, so this is pretty interesting. Like, where's this going to go? Right. Is it really a 9-part thing? Like, are we gonna, is this, you know, how so I read that, and I also really liked that one. I think I just read once, but I remember I had the hardcover and I was carrying it around middle school. That's awesome. And luckily didn't get that beat up, so
I remember the level of that 64 game where you had to fight Boba Fett was so fucking hard. I just remember eating shit like consistently.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I don't know if I ever got that far because the ice, the wampas, the ice monsters just would fuck you up. That game was terrible. It was so bad. Such a fucking,
I loved it, but I'm sure.
I did too, but yeah, I'm real sure bad.
Looking back at it now, it's probably horrible.
Did any of you guys play an Atari Star Wars?
The Atari Star Wars game fucking
the
rules.
One where you're shooting the four-legged walkers on Hoth. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, do they have the Atari one that was also the arcade?
Yeah,
because the arcade one you like sat in, and then it was the it was the run on the Death Star.
It's like sort of like vector graphics, like,
yeah, that game was great.
The game was super fun. Yeah,
I don't think I played that one.
They had one of those like machines, like the sit-in machine, whatever, one of the arcades I went to as a kid. And I remember when I was in like fifth grade, there was a sign that said like for sale, and it was for sale for like, I think like $3,000 maybe, or maybe it was $1,000. I don't know. It was a lot. But as a kid, I was like, I wonder if I could save up enough to buy the Star Wars game. And I had made plans to, like, if I save like $5 every week or whatever, like some sort of like insane plan, never obviously get a fortune. Nico, what about your experience with Star Wars? Like either reading the sort of novelizations or just like, I don't know, your Star Wars fandom. What was it like for you?
To be honest, I mean, I liked the first movies and then I kind of liked the train wreck more than like once the prequels came out. It was like, wow, this is just dog shit. Like, and it kind of, there's a lot of those kind of things where like a lot of the elements in the Star Wars universe don't make any sense. And people, and then so you kind of watch people do like bend over backwards to, you know, like the parsec thing where it's like part like Han Solo uses parsecs as a unit of time. Oh, right. And then people are just bending over backwards to be like, oh, he's like making a joke there or whatever the fuck. It's like, no, it's just a bad line. It's just a poorly written line by somebody who doesn't know what a parsec is.
Right.
And it's like kind of, I don't know. I guess I don't like it very much.
So you never dove into the like expanded universe stuff, like the novels or games, stuff like that?
I think the closest I've come is watching The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And I like The Mandalorian.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess I'm more of a Star Trek guy.
Oh, really?
To be honest.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We could do a separate Star Trek episode. There's this game I loved, a Star Wars game called, I think it was called Rebel Alliance or Rebel Assault. I can't remember. It was like a LucasArts game, one of the early ones. And for some reason, I was thinking about it last week. I don't watch like playthroughs or like I don't watch like Twitch stuff, whatever. But I went on YouTube and found some guy who recorded a walkthrough of him playing this game, because you can't play it, or it'd probably be too hard for me to figure out how to emulate on my computer. I'm not that interested. But watching it was like, oh yeah, this is so good. This is right. And the game is just like basically a replaying of the story of Star Wars, but with different characters. But it's very cheesy. But watching it again, I was very happy to hear the voice acting.
The Super Nintendo Star Wars games were great, but they were ball stompingly hard. So I don't think I ever got past the second stage in any of them. They're so hard.
Yeah, I played, I think, the Empire one, and it's super hard. think it's called like Super Empire or something like that, or Super Empire Strikes Back.
I think they're all called Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, yeah. And Super. There's well, again, related to the fanfic, there's I think one of the things that's maybe most interesting about Star Wars is that it itself is just borrowing from everything.
Yeah,
and then it became so influential that like there's a lot of like Star Wars ripoffs that are just as interesting or just as kind of, you know, fun. Have you ever seen the Kurosawa movie that they like that Lucas
Hidden Fortress? Yeah.
The Hidden Fortress. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's not one of his best movies, but it's still really good. And it's kind of, you know, Kurosawa did a lot of taking Shakespeare and turning it into samurai. So then to see an American take a samurai and turn it into a space opera, it's like, there's, I don't know. It's interesting. And then, it just infected everything.
Yeah.
You know, even stuff that has nothing to do with space. There's so many kind of like Star Wars elements that shows up in things.
Yeah, definitely.
It is weird that I think kind of the ancillary characters and some of the world building is more interesting than most of the main movies, you know, or most of the mainline kind of story.
Oh, yeah.
The things like the Mandalorian or the blanking on it, but like the Clone War comic or cartoon that's really supposed to be good.
That show's pretty good.
Yeah, and all those kind of things that are completely beside the point of the main like line of movies, and they're often like better storytelling than any of them except maybe the first three.
Yeah, that's like something that breaks into earlier. I wanted to know because you said something about like not caring about the stories about that aren't about the Skywalker saga. But I liked Rogue One because it was tied to that story, but it was like a whole separate thing. You get to see this like other corner of the Star Wars. Like there was that scene in that movie where they're on the beach planet and there's like pine trees or whatever. And I was like, holy shit, like Star Wars with pine trees looks pretty fucking cool. Like
Rogue One was the best of the new ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
By like kind of a long shot. I didn't hate 8 and 9. I think they were more misaligned than they deserved. I didn't like 7. I don't think those movies were as bad as people said they were.
Yeah. There was a massive overreaction for a lot of dumb reasons.
Yeah.
But Rogue One was, I think, the standout for sure. It was the most interesting.
Yeah.
And had the coolest look. And just like the idea. I mean, part of the excitement of Empire Strikes Back is that first scene set on Hoth, the snow planet. You're like, oh, wow, Star Wars in snow is pretty cool too. Like, he's like, it's exciting to see the aesthetic markers of this fictional universe and different,
yeah,
and like seeing it kind of expand is, I think, really exciting.
I think it's a shame because you almost only ever get one or the other. Like, you get either some really good world building, like Favreau doing The Mandalorian. Like, he's clearly a fan and he's a really good filmmaker, and so it's like you get this like really well told little kind of part of the Star Wars universe that has absolutely nothing to do with anything else, you know? And
right.
So you get either the good and like Rogue One, which is kind of about, you know, it's almost the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead of the Star Wars universe. Like, you see the behind the curtain of what's happening during whatever the fuck, but it's like it's like a side story, you know? As I don't know if you guys have seen Picard or have any interest in it, but Picard, I think, was one of the best. What had actually both like elements. So it was Michael Chabon, who's a really good storyteller and a huge Star Trek fan, and he gets like Picard. So it would almost be like if The Mandalorian was instead about Han Solo, and it was like old Han Solo, and it brought in like all of the people from the first movies, and it was like, wow, this is a well-told like fans story about the main characters of this world. And it's like uses all of that fan knowledge and all that shit to actually tell a story that means something to the universe of the series instead of just like being off in a tiny corner.
Yeah, and not only that, but like the advantage of having like such a well-known kind of fictional universe. I think this is a thing Marvel does pretty well too, is,
yeah,
and I think the best stories, you know, follow this, is not every single story needs to be about saving that universe, right? And
right.
I think
right.
that's the trap that some of the old ones, the prequels, fell into, as well as number 7 in Star Wars, where it's like, oh, they saved, like, in the period of 2 hours for the first of the newest one, number 7, they like learned of this thing, figured it out, destroyed it, and it was like, well, that's that. And I know the first Star Wars sort of does that, but or 4 or whatever, however you want to put that out, but even at the end where they're giving out the medals, like, it's known that the war is not actually over in the first one, right? Like, they destroyed the Death Star, but the Empire is still very much intact. Whereas in 7, they kind of implied that the whole First Order was wiped out, right? Like, the Emperor is still alive, or the whatever that guy is, the fake Emperor.
Snoke.
Yeah, and so, like, Mandalorian does the same thing, where, like, there's stakes to it, but the stakes are not the existence of existence, right? And I think the side stories that do that well, Rogue One's the same way. Like, it was really fucking important that they do that, and it was a kind of make or break moment for a larger plot, but it wasn't an existential necessarily threat to the extent of, like, destroying a Death Star would be, right?
I think there's like ways to do it. It seems like they either pick main characters or side characters, and if they're doing main characters, it's a save the world story. And, like, they haven't figured out how to do, because if you have, like, a billion TV shows and a billion cartoons, like, fucking use Yoda. Like, use Yoda and have it just be, like, Yoda's life, and not have it be, like, you know, the main, you know, like, oh, this is how he saves the universe. Like, there's a way to do it with main characters that are smaller stakes.
Well, they tried that with the Han Solo one, and they maybe overcompensated a little too much where there was not enough stakes at all in that one. I still liked that movie, but
I like that one.
Yeah, but
more than the Princess Leia flying through space one.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was like super low stake, you know. And that's also the trouble that the prequels have, where, like, you know, and the danger of having a backstory for a character that's so famous is, like, he's not going to die. He's going to get his legs cut off. And he's going to turn into Darth Vader. We know that, right? So, like, either make that cool, but they didn't make it cool. They had some, like, lava surfing scenes, and, like, it just, because you've already told the story in a different movie, so telling it again, like, that's hard to make interesting. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I like the most about Star Wars, especially as a kid, but even now, is not even necessarily the side characters, but the background characters, particularly when they were fucking Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many, like, because Jim Henson did so many of those aliens and stuff, and there's so many just, like, you know, in the very first Star Wars, when they're going into the cantina, like, 20 minutes into the movie, there's all these, like, weird, cool-looking alien, werewolf, whatever monsters, right? And
the guy who just looks like the devil, like, he just has, like, devil horns and a red face. And
you
devil
could tell,
ears.
Like, especially in that one, when their budget was whatever, like, they just, like, dug through the costume shop, or, like, well, this guy could be in there, that's fine. Like, why is there a werewolf and a devil in there? I don't know. And they do that consistently, even in the new ones, even the Mandalorian. They're not just, one of the things I kind of don't like about Star Trek is all the aliens just look like humans with, like, different clay formations on their face. Like, the Klingons have the foreheads, mm-hmm. and the Spocks have the ears, and there's not a lot of, like, and that's fine. It's a different universe. Or there's Fribbles, which is fun, but
Tribbles.
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 Fribbles are from Friendlies, right?
Yeah. Sure. I would drink one and not the other, because it would be hairy and reproduce in my body.
Liquefy a Tribble and drink it.
Yeah, I think one of the big differences is that in the Star Wars world, it feels like there are millions of completely different planets and completely different races. And in Star Trek, there's like five. It's like you have an entire universe, but there's really only like five races, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all you got. That's your entire palette. And it's definitely a different feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in a... You know, we're telling our perspective from a certain time and place, but, you know, for me, like, that shit was so fun. That was the same kind of fun as, like, Atari and Nintendo games, that there's only so much there, right? There, and then how much time did we spend on the playgrounds or at recess, like, imagining our own stories that fit within that, like, oh, that's what this guy does. Did you know? And, like, some of it is actually true, and some of it is just rumors that some kid made up and stuck around. Did you know that weird monkey thing what's his name on Jabba's thing?
Oh, Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb, right? So, like, oh, I heard he did this and that and that, and then one person actually read the book, and they're like, and then so it becomes this social thing that 20 years later I will think is stupid and call sad because it goes to the internet. But, like, there's something there that's, like, really creative and fun.
That's an important point. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier too, about how in the early 90s, Star Wars wasn't a big cultural thing really anymore. Like it was obviously had some moment in the late 70s and early 80s.
Life support.
Yeah, and it was like massively popular, but then it really retreated into like nerd culture and was just like, yeah, you read paperbacks if you were into it. There was tons of comics about it and stuff like that. But it really was, you were kind of, I mean, it's part of why like Dave and I went to like the Splinter of the Mind's Eye novel, because it was like, there's only so much Star Wars content out there that you can get. And this is one of them. And I was like, well, I want more of this. I'm going to go ahead and start checking it out. The difference between people who are like young people who are experiencing Star Wars now and enjoy it, and just how much there is to enjoy constantly. It's like an embarrassment of riches. It's
too much, too many choices.
Yeah, in some ways, too many choices. Just like you can literally, you know, curate your own Star Wars experience from whatever is out there and kind of just focus on whatever you want to. And it's a weird, I mean, I can't compare because I don't know. I don't know what the experience of the latter is like, but it just seems so different. And I wonder how that will affect people's affection for Star Wars in the future. Like part of the reason why I was so psyched when the prequels came out, certainly, and then was disappointed, but then when the new ones came out past couple of years, I was really hyped, because I was like, yeah, I want more of this, and I want more of what felt cool to me as a kid, and not just like the another one kind of, like, which I think it's become now. It's like, oh, more Star Wars stuff. I was like, well, I'm not as charged to go get it, because it's like, ah, there's a lot of it now, and it's on every commercial, you know, the merchandise is out there constantly. It's just like everywhere, and it's a little bit less fun. And I'm saying that as a nearly 40-year-old man, so take that for what it's worth. Listeners, tell us your
hold on. We have to at least say what's your favorite Star Wars
movie or character?
Movie.
Okay, I'll start with you.
I mean, it's Empire Strikes Back. It's probably hopefully what everyone says, but
which one is that? The second from original.
Episode 5. Okay. I'm going to say New Hope, actually. I love Empire Strikes Back, too, but I think New Hope is my favorite. That's one I would, if I was going to put a Star Wars movie to watch right now, it would be a New Hope, for sure.
Which one is that? Sorry.
It's the first.
That's the
first prequel?
That's the No. The original. Okay.
1977.
Yeah.
Okay.
Classic, yeah. Star Wars story. Dave?
Yeah, that's the one I would go with, too, while acknowledging that Empire Strikes Back is probably the better of the two and maybe even the more entertaining. That's not the one I feel most sentimental about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, like you, I would choose to watch that one right now.
Yeah.
Mm. I gotta go Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a sucker for the part where, like, finally, like, the training is done and he can come back and whip some ass.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Also, the rescue scene in Jabba's palace is pretty great.
The opening of Return of the Jedi is the coolest. It's one of the best things about Star Wars, period. And then it gets kind of slow for me after that. And Endor is maybe less satisfying. Although the speeder bike chase is pretty cool.
And
the climax and with the Emperor and Vader and Luke is... That fight is so good. It's like the choreography is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I have breaking news, which isn't all that interesting, but it wasn't Kevin J. Anderson that I first read. It was a guy named Timothy Zahn.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote a series in 1991.
I think he also wrote The Shadows of the Empire one. That name sounds familiar.
Mm. He wrote a few. So I read, I feel like I read this trilogy that came out in the early 90s. So I would have been like 13 when it started. And then I looked at a few Kevin Andersons and I did read a couple, but by that point, like he released like a dozen and a half books from 1994 to like 96 or 7. And I read one or two, but by that point I was kind of out of it.
Right. Right. I think Zahn might have been involved with Mandalorian potentially. Can't remember if that's true or not, but I think he was involved somehow with that series, that show. Wow. Breaking news. That's fantastic. Well, listeners, tell us your thoughts on Star Wars on Twitter at YakBabies. You can also email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com to let us know your favorite movies, characters, your affection for Star Wars. Has it waned, grown, etc.? Tell us. We want to know about it. And then also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies, where you can get our bonus podcast. It's a secret podcast. Put all the stuff we don't want you to hear there, but we will let you hear it for $1. We're willing to be bribed. So give us $1 and you can get access to our hilarious jokes. There's games. We have an EME game where we translate things through the Google Translator, and it's very fun. There's also drafts.
We're due for an EME. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's true,
there for next time.
The machine is rusty and we should definitely refurbish it. There's also a whole new podcast called Snack Babies on Patreon. And like I say, I said it before, and I checked since the last time, and this is true. It is the most popular podcast that is around. Like, we actually have the number one podcast in the world. So do check it out, Snack Babies. We're talking snacks. You want to hear us talk about snacks? That's where you go to find that information. All there. And
kind of sucks for Yak Babies.
Well, we're number two. So Yak Babies is number two.
Displaced.
Also, the fine print there is this the most popular podcast in the world that is called Snack.
That also might even be true. We should double check that.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we couldn't get the Twitter handle, so the Twitter handle is Baby Snacks, which is kind of gross.
Oh boy.
We should also find the snack
that babies. Exists.
Oh yeah, that's on there. Okay. It's at Baby Snacks.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
That is gonna be used as evidence in a trial at some point.
Sure.
Yeah. I thought I was getting the snack babies thing, and then when I looked at it, it like Twitter was like, "You, it's close enough. You can just have babies snacks." So that was two S's in a row too. It's really a problem. But
well, we are snack babies, and so we do like our snacks, and we are babies. So that makes sense. It all adds up.
Or we can just pretend Yoda wrote the fucking handle, and then we're good to go.
When Nico was talking about we should hear, we want to see Yoda's life, I kept thinking of a sitcom, like a Mama's Family style sitcom with Yoda, where he just like is the main character. He's like the sassy like grandma, and like all like the younger Yoda characters are out there being like trying to get jobs, whatever. I think that would be a fun sitcom. So watch that. And then tinyurl.com/yakbabies is where you have our merch. You can get shirts and mugs and stuff there. All great designs done by Brick. They're really funny and cool. So check them out. Until then, Yak Babies. Oh, we should do it like Yoda. How would he say it?
Off yak you will.
Oh my god.
Yakking off, yes. Yes.
That's not bad.
Thank you.
That's enough.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.